I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast.
Here, we dive into the world of Microsoft and explore how it can help you, whether you're a business, an education provider, or an individual trying to make the most of the suite of Microsoft apps available.
Want to improve efficiency, boost profitability, master Microsoft's product range, or simply learn from some of the most valuable Microsoft experts who are sharing their stories with us? Then you're in the right place.
Welcome to the Mastering Mondays podcast, brought to you by No More Bad Mondays.
Welcome to another episode of Mastering Mondays, brought to you by No More Bad Mondays. Today, we're excited to welcome a truly inspiring guest, Joy Apple. Now, Joy Apple is an experienced information technologist who's been working with Microsoft products since 2008. As a seasoned SharePoint and Microsoft 365 consultant and trainer, Joy has had the unique opportunity to collaborate with three branches of the armed forces, multiple government agencies, and a wide range of Fortune 500 companies, and recently added Microsoft Service Adoption Specialist and Customer Immersion Experience Facilitator certifications to her already impressive list of credentials. Joy hosts the popular Joy of SharePoint webinar series, where she shares her knowledge on leveraging Microsoft technologies to drive business transformation. Join us as we dive deep into Joy's insights and explore how, with her expertise, you can harness the power of Microsoft to fuel real change and growth for your business. Welcome, Joy.
Thank you very much, David and Matt. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always fascinated by the journeys that kind of shape the experts that we have on the show. And yours is really intriguing. You've been immersed in Microsoft technology since 2008, as David said. You've worked with a diverse range of clients. Can you tell us a bit about the path that led to all this? And what are some of the key experiences and, I guess, decisions that brought you to where you are today?
I claim the title of an accidental IT professional. 100%. I've always loved technology. I was raised by an aerospace engineer. So buttons, switches, levers, all the things fascinate me. And one of my bucket list things is to go through the Panama Canal, because that's an amazing feat of engineering. So all that kind of stuff is fascinating to me. But through, the course of life, I was actually in the financial industry. Did not love it. People are very uptight about their money and their houses, go figure. But I was at the time married to a gentleman that was a SharePoint developer. And a colleague, acquaintance of his, was helping write the administrator's pocket consultant for Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. And delivered to me, because they knew I was kind of enjoy writing for fun at the time and kind of nerdy chick anyway. It was delivered to me a package of 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper where engineers and technologists had written chapters that were not really in English that was ready to be written or read. It was just rough, the punctuation, the grammar, all the things. And the offer was made because I was trying to break into a more technical career to get over into IT. The offer was made to me, if you'll edit this, we'll send you to SharePoint training. I was like, oh, because it was all about SharePoint, which was around but still new, right? In the Moss days. I was like, okay. So I did all this editing and I was able to put on my resume now that I knew about SharePoint. And I went to SharePoint classes and I got training. And that opened the door for me to have my first IT job on a help desk at Teledyne Brown Engineering in Huntsville, Alabama. Great place, great team. I learned a lot. And within 2 years, I was a SharePoint farm admin. And here we go. And I came to SharePoint from the collaboration side, right? From the human side, not necessarily the server side. So I think that's what kept me in there and passionate. And I saw in that organization a, this is common to a lot of organizations. It was a we want SharePoint. IT is going to write a check. Here's SharePoint. Hey, departments in this company, here's a link with an email with a link to your SharePoint site. Figure it out. So ship it, forget it, move on. It's like, well, this isn't working. Because you could go look and there were either cobwebs in the corners of the sites or they were turned into file shares. So I started doing like internal training because I like people, not just machines. And it's just, it's led on this amazing adventure. I've loved every minute of it. It's an amazing community to be a part of, as you guys know. And here we are.
Can I ask you how have you found the use of SharePoint in business has changed over the years that you've been involved in it?
I'm trying to decide how carefully I want to choose my words because in a lot of ways, it's not. I think people are more accepting of the cloud. I remember sitting in a room with some government folks because Huntsville, Alabama is a very government town. And a gentleman just banged his fist on a desk and said, the government will never go to the cloud. GCC, baby. So there's a little bit more trust there and acceptance of it. But I still see companies wanting to take their 30-year-old folder structure from the file share and just drop that in SharePoint or get to it from a tab in Teams. Can you do it? Mm-hmm. Should you do it? Nope, not ever, because it's not going to work and nobody's going to like it. So there's a lot of similarities, even though there's a lot of advancement and acceptance of this cloud world that we live in.
For our audience, so we're mostly focused around education providers and small to medium-sized businesses. And we mentioned there about, you know, people using SharePoint just to upload some files and share some files on. Could you kind of like dive a bit deeper into what SharePoint is and how companies should potentially be using it or what they should be using it for?
You know, SharePoint used to be the thing. It was the tech that we used. And I think one of the reasons why the M365 community is such a collaborative community is because for the longest time, SharePoint was the heart and soul of that. That's where everything went. And it still is. It's your centralized place for your living, breathing documents, data. If you're an M365 company, I feel very strongly that you should build your intranet in SharePoint, because it's the heart and the soul of the content and the collaboration. It used to be the Swiss Army knife. Now I kind of refer to it as the big blade in the Swiss Army knife, because we've got this amazing ecosystem of tools now. Now we can do terribly powerful, wild and wonderful things with Power BI, Power Automate. We have Planner. We have all these tools, Power Apps, even looking at Outlook, OneDrive, which I think is still terribly underrated. It is such a powerful beast. We have Word, Excel, all these things. SharePoint's the heart of it. Because if I go to open a new file or create something new, it's probably going to default that to my OneDrive, which is still tied to SharePoint. I go to send an email and I want to share a document with you gentlemen, Outlook's going to ask me if I want to share from OneDrive or SharePoint, sharing links. So it's the heart and soul of your documentation, your collaboration. It should be seen as the single source of truth for your policies, your procedures, anything that's business critical in your organization. Teams takes that heart and soul of content and collaboration, and it adds on this beautiful capability of real-time communication, right? That single pane of glass to get to all the things from that really nice chat interface. So it's definitely, in my mind, I say this every year, but I think I'm still right every time I say it. It's the most exciting time to be in this space with all of the functionality that just keeps growing and getting better and better.
It's interesting when you talk about the move from, you know, on-premises data storage to the cloud. I'm currently working in an organization where They use Google Workplace. Now, of course, Google doesn't have an equivalent of SharePoint, but they have the equivalent of OneDrive in terms of Google Drive. And I find it very difficult and disconcerting environment, because you just simply don't have the ability to categorize your documentation, categorize things. It feels like the Wild West, frankly. What do you think? Do you work with any customers who are Google sites, and do you have any opinions on that?
So when I was still in my consulting days, the number one thing my company did was intranets, migrations, whether it was like net new in M365 or maybe modernizing from on-prem SharePoint into the cloud. And then go, like, once we had that situated, create those workflows and customizations and all that really cool stuff. I've done lots of migrations from a Google world or a Dropbox or Box environment into SharePoint or even file shares. I was talking to an Orchestry partner the other day. They're getting ready to help their customer migrate from file shares into a brand new Microsoft 365 tenant. You know, it's still out there. We're so used to the tech. We're like, well, surely everybody. Nope. Right? There's still a lot of people. And yeah, there's not that concept of this admin overview into all the things. Some people find that comfortable and some people find that terrifying. And it takes thought to go from that kind of very foldery, more personal storage where I do what's right for me, you figure it out and you go do what's right for you, into a more, dare I say, shared environment. Pros and cons, but that human nature gets a little nervous when we start talking about moving into SharePoint.
Yeah, I find my nerves are in the other direction, where that idea of not having some kind of central control over your data and the ability to really know what you've got there, particularly important corporate documents, feels quite frightening to me. I mean, maybe I'm just constrained, as an individual. I should free myself.
Let's talk about digital well-being for a second. Let's say we take that Google Drive or that shared drive or that whatever, and we just translate it over into SharePoint. Well, if we're used to it being that wild, wild west, or I go back Old Testament, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes, right? So I create my folder structure and you create your folder structure. And I put things where I know where they are. And you have to do that. How many copies of, like, this is how we do things document are there going to be if we're all putting it where we want to, as opposed to having that centralized policies and procedures live here, instructions live here? Okay, so, well, there's three of us on this call. We all three have our own folder, so we all three have our own copy of that document. Whose is going to get updated when it's time to update it?
Ooh.
Whoever gets to it first, how will we know? That's a scary place to be. I did some training for some guys. I did a road trip training series for some power plants. And like, these were coal plants. And like, literally, we were talking about SharePoint at 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's when these guys were getting off work. And if they were working off an outdated set of instructions, somebody could get hurt. I realize that's not the case. Like, that's not the case for me. I just might waste an hour because I have a desk job. Might not be that big a deal. But in some environments, I mean, you're talking about serious procedures that could be pretty risky if we don't know we're working off the latest, greatest single version of truth.
And that could be very much in, I'm thinking, education as well, where you have like funding documents, not quite, the consequences perhaps aren't life-threatening, but they are financially threatening, because if you're working to the wrong documentation or the wrong rules, then obviously that causes all sorts of problems with audit and being able to claim that funding at the end of an academic year. there's so much happening with Microsoft, new apps, functionalities, new functionalities, new abilities going live all the time. It's pretty hard to keep up. And Copilot is certainly one of the big highlights right now with its rapid growth. And, you know, the possibilities seem endless, not just for people like you and me, but for, you know, all of our clients and businesses, education providers. Is AI the most exciting thing going on right now? Or is there something else that really gets you excited? Is there something on the horizon, or maybe something that you're, you know, we talk about SharePoint here, is that what people should be getting really excited and enthusiastic about in business and education?
I'm going to give you a very scientific answer and say probably, maybe. it's definitely interesting. I feel like the kind of conversations we're having today about AI are very similar to the conversations that companies and businesses were having when computers came on the scene and they were affordable and available. Who should get it? What makes the most sense? What are we going to do with it? How are we going to spend this money responsibly, not get left behind, right? It's all these things. And then the next question is, and maybe it should be the first question, how are we going to teach our people to use it? Because we've all heard those stories about the first time someone was given a mouse and they were like putting it up on the screen or talking into, you know, what is this thing? How does it work? Well, prompt engineering is very different than search. Very different. And it's going to do some different things. And in some cases, I feel like we finally just got most of the employee base comfortable using the concept of search at work. Because we don't want to search for our work documents. We want to click through folders. Maybe once, not the right word, but that was the habit. Now we're like, well, you don't have to just search. Now you can craft a prompt that will bring you specific reports and get the data out of it and not just tell you where it is, but what it's about and give you the key takeaways and all that. So it's quite different. And we need to make sure that we're prepared to skill up our employees. And it's interesting, was it April or May when the last work trend index came out from Microsoft? It's like across generations, from Gen Z to boomers, people aren't waiting for their boss to give them AI. They're going and they're starting to figure it out. We need to make sure that that's happening responsibly, that we're rewarding the people that are doing it. And for the folks that aren't really sure, let's get them plugged in. Let's get them trained up. Let's approach this methodically, because I mean, it's here and it's gone. It is changing how we work.
It's also very, very accessible, isn't it? And if you consider the skill involved in searching through, say, for example, just doing a Google search on something quite technical and identifying sources and dragging out the key bits of information, that's far, far more skilled than asking a decent AI to pull together a synopsis of all of the information relating to it. So it's an easy win, isn't it, really? You know, when people start using it, they don't go back.
No. So I did something kind of crazy about a month ago. I took a full 2 weeks off of work. I didn't take my laptop with me. But, you know, it's so easy to be connected, pros and cons, right? So for my own peace of mind, about not exactly once a day, but a few times during the week, I would log into Teams, keep an eye on chat, make sure that there was nothing crazy going on. I'd look at my email and a couple times I'd be like, oh yeah, blah, 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 quick response, done. That's how I stay relaxed when I'm on vacation. It's just knowing everything's okay. There was still a lot to catch up on when I got back. And a year ago, maybe, I would have had to do a lot of inbox scrolling. And then I would have had to go to Teams and I would have had to chat. Da, 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 da. Nope, I went to Copilot. I had a pretty long prompt. And I think that's one thing when people are still new to this, they're like, why should I spend all that time on a prompt? I could just go. you could just go do it yourself. Create the prompt one time, copy and paste it. You're done. But I had Copilot go through my chat channel, emails, look for any important files that have been shared with me that are associated with meetings. And I just had a page from Copilot to go through.
Is that one thing that's missing when you're on Copilot, when you're on these AI engines, that it has some memory or some recollection of the prompts that you've used? Because like you're saying, copy and pasting. I mean, you know, even that's too much effort for me. I want it to know. I mean, it's intelligent. You know what I mean? You know, use my best prompt.
I do think it is interesting how much they know about you. So this is a silly story, but I was sending an email out to the Orchestry customer base. I just done like an insider's event. And I was reading my email. I was like, oh, this sounds lame. So I asked Copilot to rewrite it for me to sound friendly but professional. Well, Copilot, right? Every organization has their own Copilot, right? It doesn't share outside of the bounds of the organization, security first. But Copilot knows that my name is Joy Apple. It knows I'm the director of success, and it knows that I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So it opened up its version of my email with "Howdy, partner," and the cowboy hat smiley face.
Wow!
Which I guess ties back to our tombstone conversation earlier. But I was like, too friendly. No, let's please dial that back. But you can totally go into Copilot and be like, hey, this is what I need to do. Suggest a prompt for me. Or give it a prompt and ask it, how can I make this better? And anytime we're learning something new, it's going to feel slow. And it's going to take more time. But as we do it more and more, we get faster, we get better. The more you use AI, it learns from you. Right? It's like the Viva Insights emails. So many people are like, oh, I just delete those. They're not that great. I'd use them. Tell them if it was useful. The more you use AI, the better it gets. And the more familiar with you and how you work it gets.
So building on that, Joy, if you could give one key piece of advice to businesses or educational providers who want to get the most out of the Microsoft ecosystem, you know, what would that advice be? Would it be, you know, really dive in and think about Copilot? Would it be actually look at the wider kind of set of apps and products that are in the 365 thing? What should their focus be now, do you think?
If you're new, if you've not gone in there and there's not chaos yet, my advice is to make a plan. Think about the capabilities. Please, please, please read and consider the best practices and implement them. Number one best practice for Microsoft 365, we're thinking about content, Copilot, search, security, workflows, all the things, flatten out your file structures. The M365 world is flat. I do whole workshops on this at conferences. Flatten it out. I know you're used to your nested folders. They're not going to work well in Microsoft 365. Keep that as flat as possible. Don't go deeper than three levels. And people lose their minds over that. It's very different. But there is such a rich metadata capability built in with views, columns, tagging, and it will work so well. It will work so well. And the flatter that structure is, the less complicated the permissions get. So if it's net new, do the research, make a plan, embrace the best practices that are out there. Go to adoption.microsoft.com, dive in, read it. It's there for you. Now, maybe you're already in it and anyone's been able to create anything, anytime, any place, anywhere, and it's chaos and it's crazy. And we're a little scared about Copilot because we know the permissions are nuts and we know all these things. And I'm going to say a very unpopular word, governance. Embrace governance. There's a phrase I use now, or a sentence I say, I never thought these two words would be used at the same time, but here we are. Governance is sexy now because Copilot readiness is governance, and the C-suite is willing to pay for it now. For 16 years, I have heard people go, we'll just get in there and then we'll clean it up later. No, you won't, because you're going to get busy. You're instantly busy. Go in. Archive out that old stuff. Get it out of the way. It's already making search a disaster for you. Clean it up so Copilot doesn't think this is relevant content. Flatten out your structures because Copilot can't go deeper than about 3 levels, maybe more. Just depends on naming conventions. Make sure your permissions are in check. Get rid of those sub sites. Utilize the hub site architecture. As Susan Hanley says, hub don't sub. Embrace that governance, and you will be ready to approach Copilot in a much better cohesive way.
Yeah, one thing that I take from that, actually, that point that you made about the ease of managing permissions when you've got a much flatter structure, because permissions are difficult and it's very difficult to control them. And that's such an important point, such an important point. You can make a real rod for your own back by just letting people kind of run riot with folders.
What about someone that potentially doesn't, you know, they've come into an organization and they don't potentially have the power to lead on or even contribute to like a big organizational change that might be needed there? What about those that come in and they're just there to do their job? What could they do? Like what can day to day, what could someone do to help themselves and maybe start to help the organization?
Props to Microsoft. I would say they've done a really good job at putting content, making it available to people. I would encourage them to go to places like learn.microsoft.com or again, adoption.microsoft.com. Start picking up those best practices and where you can. Like maybe you're just a contributor or an editor on a site or in a team, a member of a team. You may have a little bit of power there, permissions-wise, to create the structures properly. Because if you're a member, you've got some creation capabilities. It just depends on how that organization may or may not lock things down. Socialize it. Have the conversation. Or if you've ever been at an organization and you're bringing your skills and your experience of like, hey, I used to work at this place and we did it this way and it was much less confusing. Talk about it. Highlight it, share, maybe give an example and see if you can't lead that way. I know it can be hard. It can feel like an uphill battle, but if people can start to experience how it can be better, they'll appreciate it and you'll start to see that change.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, just picking up on the Microsoft Learn site in particular there, there's so much content there that you can absorb. And, you know, from there as well, you can become one of those Microsoft innovative educators. You can take that to the next level and become an expert. And a lot of that stuff you can gain badges on and, you know, lead on to take awards and exams as well for. So, and a lot of that, if not all of that, you don't necessarily need your organization's back in. You can go in, you can do that yourself, you can learn, and then like you said, you can bring that to the table at your organization and start to make those changes.
I would even say this, I picked this up, I went to a professional women's meetup not too long ago, and one of the ladies there, I'm terrible at names, I can't remember her name, but she's C-suite at one of the oil and gas companies here in Tulsa, and someone asked, like, well, what was one of the things that made a difference for you in your career? And this applies to anyone, anywhere. Invite yourself to the table. You have good ideas in your department. Invite yourself to the meetings. Invite yourself into your boss's office. Have the conversation. Say, I've got a really good idea. speak up. Will inviting yourself always get you a seat? No, but eventually they'll be like, okay, fine, come on in. Fine. And show them what you got. So open the door to the conversation. It's worth the risk. It feels risky. It's a good thing.
We always ask this question, your favorite Microsoft app or product, and you can't choose SharePoint.
I'm going for OneDrive because when I'm on the road and I need to capture a receipt really quick and put that somewhere where I know it won't get lost, OneDrive. Back in the day, I had a computer that just decided it didn't want to boot up reliably. It would die randomly. I was not in OneDrive and I needed to boot up my old laptop to be able to make it through a day. So I grabbed everything I dumped on my desktop, threw it in OneDrive, and now I could get to it anytime, any place, anywhere, even on this thing, OneDrive. I can open up a presentation, go through it on an airplane because I'm too cheap to pay for airplane Wi-Fi. OneDrive. OneDrive.
Joy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been incredibly insightful hearing about your journey, your experiences, and your perspectives on the future of Microsoft technologies, not least OneDrive. We know our listeners will find tremendous value in your insights. Thanks again for being with us on this episode of Mastering Mondays.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.